Now let us move to our next chapter, chapter number 4, detailed summary of the Lord of Flies. You were hearing Nishant sing, and now let us start the detailed summary of Lord of the Flies. The sound of the shell. Ralph, a fair-haired boy, just over 12 years old, made his way towards the lagoon through the creepers. He was soon joined by a short fat boy with thick spectacles, Piggy. Indeed, a passenger tube had crash-landed in jungle and the school children were scrambling out to safety and were picking their way to the beach. Ralph and Piggy were also the victims of the plane crash. Behind them was a long scar in the jungle-like forest where the aeroplane has crash-landed. Ralph explained to Piggy that they were on the island and there were not any grown-ups around. The fat boy Piggy was startled for a while, but he gathered his wits within no time. They discussed the air attack in which the entire crew was killed except the children in the passenger tube. The children had survived and were scattered all over the jungle. Piggy was frightened by the prospect of life without grown-ups, but Ralph was delighted at the thought of a realized ambition. They talked while they moved ahead. Piggy was hopeful of finding some of other children scattered around. He could not keep pace with the tall, well-built Ralph and had to increase his speed. As a result of this, his breathing became hard and it became obvious that he was an asthmatic. Piggy wiped his glasses again and grubby windbreaker. He adjusted his spectacles and followed Ralph. In a few seconds they were out of the jungle. The shore was full of palm trees. The ground was covered with coarse grass and fallen leaves of the coconuts and palm trees. Ralph surveyed the area in front of him and he could make out a white surf on the coral reef in the far distance. They soon reached the beach and found a cool pool in the sand. They threw their clothes and jumped into it for a swim. It was a relief from the tropical heat and sweat. Ralph told his friend that his father was a commander in Navy and sure enough he would come to rescue them. But Piggy shattered his belief by declaring that the crew of their plane as well as the people in the airport were killed in nuclear attack. There was little possibility of Ralph's father knowing where they had crash-landed. He said in consternation, "We may stay here till we die." Ralph now realized the gravity of their situation. The shore was edged with palm trees and out at sea perhaps a mile away, wave broke on a coral reef. After Ralph had displayed his prowess as a swimmer to his admiring companion, they discovered a large conch shell in the lagoon. It looked like a shining thing in the water. It was a beautiful shell, deep color and 18 inches long. Piggy immediately understood that it could be used as a trumpet to summon the children scattered over the island. After the shell had been fished out, Ralph pursed his lips and blew into the cell. After a few trials, the trumpet-like boom reverberated across the treetops. Hearing the sound, the children started to assemble. The first boy to appear was Johnny, 6 years old. Soon they found a group of boys in black cloaks with black caps and silver badges marching towards them. Jack Meridew was their leader and they were a school choir. Piggy introduced the boys and told them that they were holding a meeting. Among the boys were two twins, Sam and Eric, and they were very similar in appearance and mannerism. Piggy got muddled while introducing them and even everyone had a hearty laugh. Jack inquired Ralph about the trumpet and he had thought the sound to be emanating from a ship. Ralph told Jack that there was no ship and no trumpet. The sound was produced by conch shell. Jack, along with his child, also stayed back for the meeting. As there was no grown-ups, the boys decided that they would have to fend for themselves and they proposed to have a leader among themselves. Jack volunteered to be the chief as he was the chair leader also, but Roger suggested that they should rather vote for the chief as they did at school. The boys liked the idea tremendously and shouted in a great excitement, "Vote for chief." Gradually the clamor turned into an acclaim of Rolf, although whatever intelligence had been shown till now was traceable to Piggy and the most obvious leader was Jack. Yet Rolf had a stillness about him that marked him out. There was his size, his appearance, and most obscurely but powerfully there was the conch, and the boys wanted him with the shell to be their chief. All except the Choi boys voted of Rolf, and thus Rolf proclaimed himself the chief of this group of children. In order to console and cheer up Jack, Rolf made him his second in command and the leader of the army of the hunters. The Choi boys took off their black cloaks and relaxed for a while, whereas Rolf and Jack decided to explore the land and decide whether they were really on island or not. Jack, Simon and Rolf jumped off the platform and walked along the sand past the bathing pool. Piggy wanted to accompany them, but Rolf asked him to stay back and prepare a list of the boys. He knew that the exertion would be too much for the asthmatic Piggy. But Piggy was dejected at the refusal and murmured to himself, "I was with him when he found the conch. I was with him before anyone else was." Towards the end of the afternoon, the mirages were setting a little and they found the end of the island quite distinct and not out of shape or sense. The part of the beach where they standing were nearer to the mountain than any other, and they decided to climb the mountain from there. The boys kept moving up despite the tangles of creepers and roots. They felt like explorers and they were full of adventure. In the way they came across a rock which moved them, Jack leaned against it. They decided to have it down the slope. After a few unsuccessful attempts, they were able to push it down. They felt a sense of achievement after doing that. It also enabled them to move up faster, and within no time they reached at the top. From the top they would see a circular horizon of water, and they became sure of this, their presence on an island. There where the island petered out in water was another island, a rock almost detached standing like a foot facing them across the green with one bold pink bastion. Jack said, "That's a reef, a coral reef. I have seen pictures like that." The reef ran parallel to the beach for a mile or so. Meanwhile, Jack pointed out the place from top where they had landed. Jutting into the lagoon was the platform with insect-like figures moving near it. Rolf sketched their way back and explained it to the other boys. He also observed that there was no villages and no boats. Jack cried in exult, "We will get food, hunt, catch things until they fetch us." The other side was steeper and had no reef. When Simon mentioned his hunger, the other became aware of theirs. On Rolf's admonition, they all moved down. They scrambled down the rock slope and found bushes which were like candle bushes, dark evergreen and aromatic. Jack slashed at one with his knife and scent spiled over them. "Candle birds," said Rolf. They were walking wearily on the track when they heard the noises, squeakings and hard strike of hoofs on the paths. They found a piglet caught in a curtain of creepers, throwing itself around in all the madness of extreme terror. Its voice was thin, needle sharp and insistent. The three boys rushed forward and Jack drew his knife with a flourish. He raised his arm to kill, but the pig continued to scream. Then the piglet tore loose from the pig creepers and scurried into undergrowth while Jack was in a fix. Jack's face was white under the freckles. He noticed that he still held the knife aloof and brought his arm down, replacing the blade in the sheath. They had all laughed and resumed their climbing. Jack excused himself, saying He was just waiting for a moment to decide where to stab him, but they knew very well why he had not become of the enormity of knife descending and cutting into live fresh flesh. Because of the unbearable blood, then he snatched his life out of his sheath and slammed into a tree trunk, symbolizing that next time there would be no mercy. But things took a different turn once Jack assumed command of the boys. Chapter 2. Fire on the Mountain. After the trio's return, Ralph summoned another meeting on the platform. The sun was moving towards the west as it was past noon, and the boys, many of them badly sunburnt, had put their clothes on. The choir, noticeably less of a group, had discarded their cloaks. Ralph lifted the conch to his knees but was uncertain whether to stand up or remain sitting. At last he cleared his throat and explained to the boys that they were on an inhabited island, and since there were no grown-ups, they would have to look after themselves until such time as they might be rescued. It was also decided that anyone wishing to speak will first raise his hand like at school, and then he shall be given to conch, and only then would be allowed to speak in the meeting. Piggy was at first to ask for the conch. He was pessimistic about their being rescued, as nobody knew where the plane had crashed. At this moment, Ralph noticed a commotion at the back. Some of the younger children were pushing forward a little boy of 6 with an ugly mulberry-colored birthmark on his face. He was something to say, and he stretched his hand for the conch. A roar of laughter emerged from the boys on his gesture of the little boy. Ralph ultimately gave him the conch, but he was no shaken that he could not utter a word. Piggy knelt by his side and interpreted for the assembly. Hesitantly, the boy told them that there was a snake thing ever so big hiding in the woods, and in spite of Ralph's assurances that no such creature existed, some of your younger children looked unconvinced. Ralph tried to explain to them that snakes were found only in big countries like Africa and India, and not on an island like theirs. Ralph raised the morale of the boys by telling them about the big room full of maps and where all islands are drawn. He said that his father was in a navy, and sooner or later they would be rescued with the help of Queen's room full of maps and photographs. The assembly was lifted towards safety by his words, and they all clapped at this. Ralph now told them that perhaps no one knew where they were, not even the people at the airport. Thus, they might have to be there for a long time. It was therefore imperative for them to think of being rescued. For that, they would have to make their presence known to passing ships. This could be achieved only by lighting a fire on the mountain top. No sooner he had mentioned it than the boys rushed to the mountain under the leadership of Jack, shouting, "Fire, make a fire, make a fire, make a fire." Everyone had gone. Ralph and Piggy were left alone on the platform. Piggy did not like this show of emotions. He shouted in disgust, "Like kids," he said scornfully, acting like a crowd of kids. But even Ralph was moving up, and Piggy too followed him. Almost everyone except Piggy was busy collecting logs of wood, pieces for the fire. Each party of the boys added a quota, less or more, and the pile grew. The twins Sam and Eric came up the mountain with arms full of dried leaves and dumped them against the mountain pile. As the boys sensed that the pile was complete, they stopped going back for more. Now rose the problem of burning the fire. They realized that they had no matchsticks with them. How they were going to light the fire? Just then, Piggy arrived on the scene. Jack suggested that his spectacle could be used as a burning glass. Before Piggy could back away, his spectacles were snatched by Jack, and Ralph used them to light the fire. Ralph moved the lenses back and forth till a glossy white image of the declining sun lay on the piece of a rotten wood. Almost at once a thin trickle of smoke rose and made him cough. The flame, nearly invisible at the first in that bright sunlight, flapped higher gradually, and the boys broke into a cheer. But the fire soon dried out, and they found it difficult to keep up such a huge fire by replenishing it with log of wood. A smaller fire alone could be kept burning day and night. Ralph suggested that someone should take up the responsibility of tending the fire. Jack offered the services of his hunters. He asked them to take turns to keep the fire burning. Piggy now started to tirade about the stupidity of the conflagration they had set on. The fire, in fact, had spread down the forest, and the boys were cheering in sheer joy. But the piggy alone understood the consequences of such a huge fire. He pointed out that it was burning their precious firewood and fruit trees. He asked them to put first things first. The awestruck boys were told by Piggy that instead of wasting time setting half an island on fire, they should have made use of wood to build shelters down the beach. What they most needed in the circumstances were shelters and not single fires. But the boys laughed him down. Piggy also told them that they were not even sure of their strength, as he had got time to make a nominal roll of the children. They had all gone into the forest and scattered, making Piggy's task all the more difficult. They realized the gravity of the situation only when he recollected that one of them, him with the mark of on his face. "I don't see him. Where is he now?" was missing. The crowd, which was shouting Piggy down, became silent as death. The boys were awestruck and hearing this. They all looked at the another fearfully and unbelievingly. A silent horror spread among them. The sun was far down on the horizon. The dumb roll noise of the fire continued unabated on the mountain side. Now let us start chapter 3, Huts on the Beach. In this chapter we find that frustration of both the leaders in the island. Jack crouched in the dense undergrowth and searched for a pig spoor. There was only a faint trail and what might to be the impression of one side of a hoof. Like a shallow shadow he glided through the silent humid forest. A sharpened stick about 5 feet long trailed from his right hand. The forest had an eerie silence about it. He was frustrated because of his failure in locating the pig, but again he caught a smell and found fresh pig droppings. He found the trail jumping and pig run that was wide enough to be a path. But his search for meat yielded no results, and streaming with sweat, Jack made his way towards the lagoon. There he found Ralph and Simon busy erecting shelters. Ralph did not notice his presence, and it was only when Jack asked for water that Ralph withdrew his attention from the shelter and realized his presence. Simon tried to lift a whole branch of leaves, but no sooner they did put it on the shelter than the leaves came apart. Ralph complained that the little boys were enlisted as workers, and the bigger ones soon lost interest and went off to swim. Ralph complained that no one took things seriously. Their decisions were never carried out. Their assemblies were mere talk. Even the hunters rarely helped. The hint made Jack shout in a rage, and he turned up Ralph in anger. "Are you accusing?" Both became red in the face and found facing each other a difficult proposition. They had come to a verge of an open antagonism. Their values were different. Ralph stood for shelter and fire, while Jack was only interested in hunting. But somehow they calmed down when Simon mentioned about the fear among the little ones. Simon talked of the beast. The children were afraid of Jack. Agreed that even he felt fear at times. When he was alone in the forest, he sometimes felt that he was being hunted. Ralph suggested that the best thing they could do was to get rescued. He then said that it was because of the fear of unknown that they needed the shelters for the night and the signal of fire as well. But Jack's resort was, "Would you and your fire?" He only thought about the pigs, where they might be resting in the heat of the afternoon. Suddenly he got an idea and cried out, "Got it!" Ralph's reaction was a bit bewildered. He thought the idea concerned the boys, but when he came to know that Ralph was again thinking about the devious way to catch a pig, he became exasperated and said, "All you can talk about pig, pig, pig." Antagonism he had raised against its head, but they soon calmed down. Ralph explained how people were never quite what they were thought to be. No one was there to help him with the shelters except Simon. Jack offered his help before he went for a bath. Both of them moved towards the shelters, but when they reached the shelter, Simon was missing. He had also got fed up and gone to bath and shed instead. Simon was not in a bathing pool. He had followed the Jack and Ralph for a while. They were stopped. With an air of purpose, he walked into the forest, and after helping some of the little boys to pick ripe fruits out of their reach, he made his solitary way towards clearing in the undergrowth, the existence of which only he knew about. When he was secure in the middle of the clearing, surrounded by bushes, he listened to the sound of the island, the sounds of bright fanatic birds, the bee sounds, and the fainter splashing of the waves. With the evening advancing and fading of the light, the rictus color died and heat and urgently cooled away. It became cooler and spot was soon enveloped by the darkness of the evening. Now let us move to our next chapter, chapter number 4, Printed Faces and Long Hair. You are with Nishant Singh. The author here gives an idea of the life of the little boys who were around 6 years of age. They were called Little Lumps. They had come to have a corporate life of their own. The boys had become used to the slow swing from the dawn to the quick dusk. They liked the bright sun and sweet air in morning. Towards the noon, the stark colors of the morning were smooth in pale opalescence and heat became a blue. At the end of afternoon, the mirages subsided and the horizon became level and blue and clipped as sun delined. When the sunset darkness enveloped the island like a extinguisher and show, the shelters were full of restlessness. At the end of the afternoon, the mirages subsided and the horizon became level and the blue and clipped as a sun declined. When the sunset darkness enveloped the island like an extinguisher and soon the shelters were full of restlessness. Browned by the sun, filthy, dirty and suffering from chronic diarrhea, from eating unripe or overripe fruits, they spent their time in aimless and trivial play on the beach. Attending the meetings of the bigger boys as an entertainment, they were happy in their own way. On this particular day, three of them, Henry, John, Johnny and Percival, were playing on the sand. Henry was a relation of the boy with the mulberry colored mark on his face, but he thought little of his vanished color relative. Rogo and Maurice were on duty at the fire. When they were relieved from the duty, they came for a swim and walked through the castles built by the boys. Percival started to protest and Rogo trotted away. They stopped their play and Henry wandered off to sit at the edge of the pool. Roger followed him and, hiding him behind a palm, threw stones to splash water on Henry. But he never dared to throw at Henry because there was an invisible yet strong taboo of the old life. Henry was surprised by plopping sounds in the water. He turned around to see the thrower, but Roger hid behind the palm trunk. Soon Roger heard himself addressed. It was Jack who was standing under the tree but 10 yards away. Sam, Eric and Bill were also waiting by the pool at the end of the river. Jack had with him 2 large leaves, one containing white clay and another red. There was also a stick of charcoal. He soon started smearing the clay on his face and painting himself. As he walked, he explained to Roger they saw him instead of smelling him out. The only way to approach the pigs was to paint himself, and he wished for some green clay to complete his camouflage. Jack made one of his cheeks and eye socket white. Then he rubbed red over the other half of his face and slashed a back bar of charcoal across from his right ear to left jaw. Jaw reflected his image for a while, then broke into a laughter. He compelled the twins to join him in the hunting party. They were supposed to be on duty at fire, but the masks compelled them. While this hunting party was busy, Ralph, Piggy and Simon were fooling about rather aimlessly near the lagoon. Piggy proposed that they could have a clock by putting a stick in the sand and having the sundial. Ralph only turned and smiled involuntarily. Piggy saw that smile and got encouraged by it. He then said that they could have a sundial for each one of them, as there were plenty of sticks. Ralph got a little annoyed at this and asked Piggy to shut up. He himself went to the pool to have a swim. Suddenly, after scanning the horizon, Ralph shouted in great excitement that he could discern the smoke of ships funnel out the sea. He knew for certain that it was a ship. He was excited. Their rescue was close at hand. He immediately thought of the signal fire. He rushed to the mountain top to make sure. Some of other boys too had seen the smoke and followed Ralph. Piggy alone could not understand the reason for this commotion, because he was unable to see the smoke, but he too struggled up after the one another. Ralph reached at the top and found that the fire had been out of 4 hours. He raved in fury and helplessness. This attempt to revive the fire was in vain, and the ship was moving farther and farther away. He could only stand there and stood in despair. Come back, come back. Those on duty had deserted their post to join Jack's hunting party. A few moments later, they were joined by a triumphant procession of hunters. Jack and his hunters were returning after their hunt. They were chanting, and the twins were carrying a stake on their shoulders. The gutted carcass of the pig shrunk from the stake, swinging heavily. They were talking in a great excitement about the way they hunted down the pig. Ralph was visibly annoyed, and he spoke gravely. "You let the fire out," he told Jack. Jack could not understand Ralph's mood, and he was irritated by the irrelevance of his words. He explained that even the twins were needed to complete the ring in the hunt, and added that the fire had been out for only an hour or so and could be light again. Then Ralph told him how a ship had passed and they had lost an opportunity for their rescue. It was all because of Jack's eagerness for hunting. Jack could not understand yet the reason why Ralph was so upset about the neglected fire. But when Piggy shrilly denounced him, he relieved his feeling by striking his fist into the fat boy's stomach and broke one of his lenses of his spectacles. His nervous tension relieved by this bit of bullying, Jack thereupon apologized for having allowed the fire to go out, and the lost opportunity of rescue was forgotten in the feast of roast pork. Soon Jack calmed down and apologized about the fire. This gesture of Jack was considered magnanimous by the boys, and it put him right at Ralph is in the wrong. The hunters openly admired Jack for his generous apology, but Ralph considered it a dirty verbal trick. Anger instead of disdain his past throat. He asserted his leadership and ordered to light a fire. The positive action of gathering firewood relieved the tension, and the fire was light with the help of Piggy's remaining lenses. The pig was roasted over the fire and they had a glorious meal of pork. Jack did not give a share to Piggy, but Simon shared his speech with Piggy. There was an uninterrupted silence which was broken by Maurice. He asked Jack where they had found the pig, and Jack, who was too eager to spill out the story, broke in quickly. He explained the full hunt in detail. They soon started talking excitedly about the hunt and chanted their song of triumph. Kill the pig, cut the throat, bash her in. When the noise died down, Ralph announced that he was going to hold an assembly down on the platform and walk down the mountain all by himself. Now let us move to our next chapter, chapter number 5, Beast from Water. Ralph had walked down the mountain after announcing the assembly. He was passing up and down by the water and was overcome by astonishment. He was walking along the beach thinking about the points he wanted to make in his speech. He wanted that the meeting must not be a fun but business. Suddenly he realized that the sun was declining in the west, and he hurried to be the bathing pool. The place was spotted with groups of boys waiting for the assembly. They made way for him silently, consciousness of his grim mood and the fault at the fire. Ralph turned to the chief seat. They had never had an assembly as late as this one. He did not want this meeting to break up in confusion as their assemblies usually did. The chief had to think and be wise, but he realized that he could not think like Piggy. He came to face the fact that in spite of this ludicrous body, Piggy had brain. Ralph had become a specialist in thought and could recognize thought in others. The setting sun once again reminded him of the passing time, and he took the conch. When the assembly finally met, there was an air of gravity and solemnity. Ralph told them that he had called the assembly to put things straight, and now not for fun and jokes. There were innumerable things, like the decision to store fresh water from the stream, the buildings of shelters, the place of lavatory, and above all the tendings of the fire. None of them had been paid attention to the boys. They had indulged more in games and frolic instead of catering from their requirements. In between Ralph's speech and there was a disruption, and everything had to raise. Or wave the conch to keep the children quiet. He said that they could never be rescued if any did not keep the fire going. The smoke and fire were more important than the pig. He said, we have got to make smoke up there or die. He also showed his supremacy and said that there would be only one fire on the mountain. If anyone wanted to cook anything, he should go up there. Should be no more small fire cooking all over the place. This announcement was received with shouts from all sides, but Ralph reminded them, you voted me for chief, now you do what I say. Finally, he mentioned the fear that had sprung among them. It was nuisance to fear a beast that did not exist. Then Ralph put aside the conch, signifying that his speech was over. Jack stood up and took the conch next. He blamed the small boys for giving way to nameless fears and referred to them as a useless lot of crybabies. He wished a beast would swallow them and it would serve them right. But there was no such beast on the island. He had moved all over the place and had not met it so far. There could be no big animals in a small island like theirs. Piggy too told them that they need not fear, as there could be no beast on the island.
But he wanted to henna what the little boys had to say. But a self-confident little un named Phil claimed that he had seen some twisty things the previous night and had woven up. He started calling Ralph about out of fear, but then suddenly he saw something big and horrid moving among the trees. Ralph tried to explain it away as his nightmare, but Phil insisted that he was fully awake and it was not a dream. Ralph now asked the assembly if anyone had gone out in the night, and after a little bit of hesitation, Simon stood up. He has been away to his favorite secret spot in the jungle the previous night. Thus, the beast seen by Phil was discovered. Then there was another small boy, Percival. He was weeping, and the other joined him in sympathy. He had seen the beast coming out of sea. Morris also added that there was huge animals in the sea. The boys were thoroughly frightened, as it is they were very close to the sea. Someone now mentioned that the beast could be a ghost. This frightened them all the more because it was already dark and the fear was unknown lurked in their minds. Thereupon the argument sheared off, bringing up unpleasant matters, and broke up in pandemonium after angry words had been exchanged between Piggy and Jack. Jack said that he would hunt down the beast. He started chanting their hunting song, and the crowd of boys moved away as if in mock hunting. Only Ralph, Piggy and Simon were left on the platform. Piggy wanted Ralph to blow the conch and call them back, but Ralph hesitated. He was not sure whether they could return or not. He felt dejected and even expressed his desire to give the leadership, but Piggy and Simon would not allow it because that would mean that Jack Meridew would command them and assure leadership. Piggy said that if Jack became the chief, he would insist on hunting and there would be no more fire burning atop the mountain. Piggy was afraid that there would be utter chaos and disorder in the case Jack becomes the chief. Jack already hated Ralph because he was elected chief, and also he had reprimanded him in front of the others on the fire issue. Simon agreed with Piggy and asked Ralph to continue as chief. Meanwhile, Jack flaunted the rules and led some of the bigger boys in wild chant on the beach while the smaller ones staggered off howling. Then Ralph, Piggy and Simon thought of what the grown-ups would do in such a situation. All of them realized what a misfortune it was that they lacked adult guidance. Now let us move to our next chapter, chapter number 6. Beast from Air. After some time, all of them went to sleep. Ralph, Simon and Piggy also went to their shelters and lay restlessly. The silence of night was broken and by a cry from little un or a groan from the bigger boys. Ultimately, the three boys also fell asleep. While they were fitfully asleep, the adult war, which was going on in the outside world, approached the island. An aerial battle took place some 10 miles above the sleeping castaways. Though no sound could be heard, then were flashes of lights and guns burst fire. There was a sudden bright explosion and the tail of the fire was seen across the sky. An aeroplane had caught fire and a figure dropped down beneath a parachute. It landed on the mountain and got entangled with the rocks and bushes. It was held by the parachute strings in such a way that when the wind blew, the figure lifted its head and peered across the mountain. But when the wind dropped, the figure bowed forward with its head between the knees. It was a dead body of a pilot, but boys mistook it as a beast from the air. The twins, Sam and Eric, were on fire duty a little way down the mountainside. In the cold and semi-darkness of the early morning, they were busy in lighting the extinguished fire again. As usual, they had slept and found the fire almost dead. They were frightened of Ralph and they hurriedly blew out the embers. They collected tinder wood, and in few moments, Sam and Eric were able to light the fire. Eric happened to look across the rocky and suddenly discerned the vague outline of the parachute's figure some 15 yards away. They thought it was a beast and ran for their lives. In great terror, they fled to the shelters below. They woke up Ralph and told him what they had seen on the mountains. The children were filled with fear, and an immediate assembly was summoned by Ralph. Ralph wanted to blow the conch, but he was showed it to be the children, and the message was understood. He handed over the conch to Eric, and the twins rattled out what they had seen and experienced. They described their frightening experience and how they had been pursued by the beast. Jack suggested that they should hunt down the beast. He was ready to set out that very moment, but Ralph pointed out that they had no weapons and it would be foolish to approach it without their wooden spears. Piggy was of the opinion that they should remain where they were. Maybe beast won't come near us. After much terrified discussion, it was resolved that Ralph and Jack would lead the expedition. They decided to eat first and then go. They left Piggy propped up on the platform. He had to remain back to protect the little ones. Piggy alone could not do nothing, and he was afraid of the beast himself. He thought that the beast might attack them when the big boys were away. As it is, his one lens had already been broken, rendering him sightless in one eye. Jack became irritated, and disregarding the rule of the conch, he shouted at Piggy. Ralph could no longer ignore his speech, and he asked Jack to sit down. Ralph changed the point of the discussion and diverted their minds towards their rescue. He said, "Don't you all want to be rescued?" Better sense prevailed, and with a violent swing to Ralph's side, the crisis passed. He was also anxious about the fire, which would be neglected. Ralph inquired of Jack about the places on the island which had not visited. Jack told him that except for the tail end part where the rocks were all piled up, he had been to all other places. They decided to search this corner first. The likelihood of the place being the beast's lair was maximum, and the boys set out. Jack led the front, and Ralph brought out the rear. Simon was walking in front of Ralph. He was not ready to believe that the beast with claws sat on the mountain top that left no tracks and which did not catch Sam on Eric. He did not believe their story. They soon reached the spot and found that it was a castle rock. There was a narrow ledge of rock leading to the peak. The castle was of the pink granite and perhaps 100 feet high. While the boys waited in the long grass on the landward side, Ralph, as a leader, his mouth tight and pale, stepped along the causeway. Cautiously, tremulously, he reached the pink bastion and began to ease his way upwards. As he soon peering over the top at the deserted, crumbled boulders, he excited Jack joined him a few moments later. "Could not let you do it on your own. What a place for a fort." Side by side, they scaled the remaining height and looked down at the boys on the grass 100 feet below. They rejoined the rest of the party, who now, having lost their terror, were anxious to remain there and play. But Ralph, obsessed with the idea to getting the fire started again, was determined that they should go to the mountain where, in any case, the beast had last been seen. "We have got to make certain," he told them. "Can't you see the mountain? There is no signal showing. There may be a ship out there." Mutinously, the boys fell silent, and Jack led the way back. Now let us move to our next chapter, chapter number 7, Shadows and Tall Trees. Ralph and the other boys followed Jack while returning from the castle. Ralph was trying to put the beast out of mind and dream for a while. It was a hot afternoon. When they reached a place abounding in fruit, the whole party stopped and ate. While sitting down, Ralph first became aware of the heat. He wished he could have a haircut, a toothbrush, and a bath with soap. He looked at his nails and noticed that somewhere down the line, he restarted his habit and chewing nails. The boys and the hunters were busy stuffing themselves with the fruits available. Ralph looked at them and noticed that they too were dirty and had not a bath for days. He discovered that now he did not mind these conditions. Ralph got enchanted watching the sea on the other side of the island. The wave, followed by the more waves, rose and fell rhythmically. Suddenly, Ralph found Simon whispering in his ears that they would get back to where they had come from. Ralph was puzzled and he looked at Simon's face for a while. But Simon again repeated his premonition that they would get back all right. Both of them smiled at each other and said nothing. Meanwhile, Roger noticed some fresh steaming droppings and Jack decided to proceed with the hunt. Jack halted for some time due to the discrepancy and Ralph again lost his thoughts. He recollected his childhood days. Once with the father, he had lived in a cottage and at the end of Moose. He remembered the snowfalls and the balls of cornflakes provided by his mother at the bedtime. He remembered the books which stood on the shelf by the bedtime. He remembered the books. He remembered the books which stood up on the shelf by the bed. There was bright and shining books about girls, magic, and excavations. He was also the boy book of trains, the boy's bookshelf of ships. Just then, Ralph saw the bushes ahead crashing, Jack falling, and a creature bounding along the pig track towards him, with tusks gleaming and an intimidating grunt. Ralph took an aim and hit the snout with his wooden spear. The boar note changed from a grunt to a squirrel and it went into a covert. Ralph excitedly told everyone that he had hit the pig and the spear had even stuck in. Robert tried to act like a pig and Ralph the hunter. In the few minutes, the boys were having a game. After some time, they got exhausted of the game and sat down to rest. Ralph realized that at this rate they would not find anything. Maurice suggested that they should go back to Piggy, whom they had left in charge of small boys. But Ralph and Jack, irrespective of the fear of the beast, decided to climb the mountain. They started climbing the mountain. The sun was beginning to go down. Sometimes they had to go on all four to negotiate the little cliffs. Instead of going alone, the beach on the rocks and getting wet by the waves of the boys thought of going through the jungle. They tried it, but the jungle was very dense. As the rocks seemed impassable, the boys sat down for a while. Ralph said that their speed was very slow. He then climbed a tree to judge the approximate distance till the mountain top. The boys then increased their speed, but Robert cut his knees quite badly and they had to slow down to remain safe. After some time, Ralph said, "We can't leave the little lumps with Piggy alone." Jack said that nothing must happen to the little lumps with Piggy alone. Jack said that nothing must happen to the Piggy and Simon immediately volunteered to go alone through the jungle. Before Ralph could decide, he went away. The boys resumed their climb, but again an alteration between Jack and Ralph occurred. Ralph at last asked Jack, "Why do you hit me?" A silence prevailed. Then Jack broke the ice and exhorted the boys to move up and follow him. The boys reached the head of the mountain and decided to spend the night there. Jack had a different opinion. Ralph then asked the boys, but all of them were tired and unwilling to go up. Jack asked Ralph in sarcastic tone, "Coming?" Ralph simply accompanied him without saying a word. Roger also joined up with them, and three of them once more set out to climb the slope of the mountain. Ralph realized their own foolishness. He thought that if the beast was waiting on the top of mountain, their wooden sticks and spears would be inadequate. Ralph told his view to the other two, but again Jack challenged Ralph's guts and went on towards the rocks. While Roger and Ralph were sitting on a tree trunk, Jack came and in shivering and his voice cracking. He told them that he had seen the thick bulge on the mountain. Ralph volunteered to investigate himself, but Jack was hesitant. While Ralph was advancing, his inner voice of reason gnawed at his heart. As they came to the last slope, they crouched together and crept forward. They came to the flat top where the rock was very hard. Ralph trembled. He asked them to come on. Roger was lagging a bit. A lagoon lay between them. Beyond it, there was a long white spot. It was a coral reef. Jack suggested to creep forward further. In front of them, something like a great ape was sitting asleep with his head between the knees. The wind roared and the creature lifted his head. All of them sprinted back for their lives. Almost the cries of the sleeping creatures whom they had woken up. The mountain was abandoned save for the three abandoned sticks, and the thing was bowed. Now let us move to our next chapter, chapter number 8. Gift for Darkness. The boy reached their shelter soon. Piggy was feeling miserable. He could not believe their story even after repeated narrations by Ralph. The boy did not know what to do. They could never fight a thing that size. Ralph said that as long as it was day, it was good. Otherwise, the beast might do anything. The boys were skeptical about being able to light the fire because the beast was near it only. Jack said, "What about my hunters?" Immediately, Ralph retorted that they were mere boys armed with sticks. Jack marched away, red in face, and blew the conch. He went on blowing till the shelters were astir and the hunters crept to the platform and the littlums whimpered. Ralph took the conch from the Jack and said, "This meeting," Jack interrupted him and said that he had called it. Ralph thrust the conch into Jack's arms and sat down on the trunk. Jack told the boys that the beast was a hunter and they could not kill him. He was also angry with Ralph, who thought that the hunter was cowards. Jack started lambasting Ralph. He then asked the boys their opinion on the chief. He wanted all those boys who did not prefer Ralph as their chief to raise their hands. There was silence. Nobody raised his hand, and humiliating tears ran from the corner of each of his eyes. He said that he would not be a part of Ralph's lot, and anyone who wished to hunt with him could join him in the jungle. Jack then leaped down from the platform into the jungle. Ralph said that he would come back when the sun went down. The boys again focused their attention on the issue of the beast. Simon took the conch from Piggy and thought that the boys out to climb the mountain. Everyone in the circle shivered at the idea. Piggy said that there was no use in climbing the mountain. He said that the most important thing on the island was smoke, and for that they needed a fire. Although they could not light the fire on the top of the mountain, they could build a fire on the rocks and make smoke. So they decided to make a fire over there itself. They started collecting the wood fervently. The wood was not as dry as the fuel they had used on the mountain. It was damp and rotten. They built a pyramid of leaves and twigs on the bare sand by the platform. For the first time, Piggy himself knelt down and used his length to kindle the flame. The fire dried down after a little while. The boys again faced the same problem. Also, they had to keep a party who could keep the fire lit. For this, they had to depend on the small kids. Sam, Eric, Bill, Roger, and Maurice could not be seen around. Piggy said that he had seen them starting off when he was getting wood. While Ralph was engrossed in thinking, Piggy went with the twins to the jungle and came back laden with fruit. Ralph ate some fruits but was worried about Simon. Simon had gone to his favorite hunt in the jungle and thought he felt very thirsty due to the direct sun. Still, he kept sitting there. Far off along the beach, Jack stood before a small group of boys. They were dressed as hunters. He asked them not to bother about the beast. He said that he would be the chief. He planned to kill a pig and give a feast. The boys then went to the for the hunt and found a sow with piglets. They hunted sow and stuck her down their spears. They fell upon her and air was full of sweet and noise and blood and terror. Jack cleansed his body, bloody hands on the rock and lugged out hot bags of colored guts in its stomach. It pushed them into a pile on the rock while the others watched him. Then they were faced with the problem of fire. Jack planned to raid and take fire from Ralph's ground. Jack sharpened a stick and pursed it through the pig. He asked Maurice and Robert to lift the dead weight. Meanwhile, Simon stayed where he was. He was in a thinking mood. He saw the head of a pig grinning amusedly at him in the strange daylight. There was flies all around it. The head seemed to tell him to run away and join the boys. There was a stillness all around. The pile of guts had become a black blob of flies. After a while, these flies found Simon. They tickled under the nostrils and played leapfrog on his thighs. In front of Simon, the Lord of Flies hung on his stick and grinned. A pulse began to beat in Simon's right temple. Ralph and Piggy gazed at fire and kept it going with green branches and smoke billowed out. While both of them were discussing, all of a sudden, for the forest near them burst into an uproar. Jack's gang raided the fire and made it away with it. He invited the boys for the feast. The boys left with Ralph realized that they could not be rescued without the fire and they had to keep it going on. In the other part of the island, Simon was having a talk with the Lord of Flies, sticking out his head on a stick. The pig seemed to talk to Simon. It asked Simon to go back to the boys, but Simon could not leave. His head wobbled and his eyes were half closed. Simon visualized and head of the flies expanding like a balloon. He found himself looking into a washed mouth. There was blackness within. He then fell inside the mouth and lost consciousness. Now let us move to our next chapter, chapter number 9, A View to a Death. Over the island, the built up of clouds continued. Nothing prospered except the flies. They were blackening the Lord. Simon was laying alone. His nose was bleeding. His blood had not attacked even the flies towards him. They too had left him. They preferred the pig head to that of the blood and sweat of Simon. Even the running of blood did not break the sleep of Simon. He was lying unaware of everything. When the evening advanced at the last he woke up. He pulled himself with the help of the creepers and got to his feet. The blood was dry around his mouth and chin. When the creepers shook, the flies flew from the pig intestine and made a great crab buzzing noise. The Lord of Flies was hanging on a stick like a black ball. Simon got to his feet. He crawled through the creepers. Simon was muttering something while he was walking. He went on as a land led him. He was tired and so was going unsteadily, but he did not stop. He was a gust of wind. It raised clouds of dust. Against the brown cloud, Simon saw a flicker of blue stuff. He pushed himself forward. Then he saw a humped thing sit up on the top and look down at him. The flies had also found the figure. When the figure moved, the flies flew from it. When it was still, they again settled on it. Simon crawled forward. Soon he understood that it was a parachute. It made movements and the wind blew. Simon turned away from it. He looked down at the beaches. No fire was seen by the platform. But beyond the little river and near a great rock, a jet of smoke was seen rising into the sky. Simon looked towards it. He saw the most of the boys were there. He looked at the poor beast next to him. He wanted to inform the boys about his harmless beast as soon as possible. Ralph was bathing in the pool. Piggy was looking at the sky through his glasses. He did not like the gathering clouds. A couple of litterns were playing on the bank of the pool. Ralph came out of the pool. He threw a jet of water at Piggy. Piggy asked him to mind his glasses. But Ralph threw a water again. He laughed at Piggy. Piggy drove the water into Ralph's face. Ralph asked Piggy where the other boys were. Piggy replied that they were perhaps lying in the shelters. Piggy added that Sam and Bill had gone beyond the platform. They had gone to join the party of Jack. Piggy suggested that they should also go there. There was a grassy patch between the land and the shore. It was just a wide patch of turf. Leaving Piggy, Simon and Ralph, all the boys of the land were standing in the groups of the turf. They were laughing, singing, squatting and standing on the grasses. They were holding food in their hands. They had almost done the meat eating. Some of them were drinking water from the coconut sills. A great log was lying in the center. Jack was sitting on it. He was painted and garlanded. He looked like an idol. Piles of meat, fruit and coconut sills full of drinks were lying near him. Ralph and Piggy also reached the grassy turf where Jack's party was feasting. Jack waved his spear and asked his followers to bring them some meat. The boys gave them chunks of meat. They ate them as a gift. Jack then asked if everybody had taken as much as he wanted. Jack was feeling proud of the sense of ownership. While eating, Ralph was watching the fire. The evening had set in, but it was full of threats and violence. There was no calmness in it, just the Jack asked for a drink. Henry brought him a shell and he drank. He ordered all to sit down. The boys sat down in a row on the grass before Jack, but Ralph and Piggy stayed a foot lower. For the moment, Jack ignored them. Jack now asked them who would join his tribe and have a lot of fun and food. The boys were by now quite impressed by him, and obvious to Ralph's plea about his being a chief, they joined Jack's crew. Only Piggy remained with Ralph. Piggy acted wisely and took Ralph away by the wrist. He told him that a trouble could take place if they stayed there any longer. The weather turned bad, the clouds roared, there was flashes of lightning in the sky, the rain was likely to pour down. The little ones were frightened. They ran screaming. The hunter looked uneasily at the sky, but Jack commanded them to do their dance. While the boys were dancing and singing full of mad frenzy, they did not notice Simon and his scouts. They were very charged up. They chanted the lines, "Kill the beast, cut the throat, spit the blood," and hit Simon with the sticks. There was no movement and no words, only the tearing of teeth and claws. Suddenly there was a heavy downpour of rains. The boys ran away to their shelters. Only the beast lay still, its blood staining the sand. They ultimately left Simon dead, and towards midnight the rain ceased and The clouds drifted away. The beast caught up in the parachute, got freed, and the parachute took the figure forward and bumped it over a reef and out to the sea. On the beach, with the tied salmon, dead body moved towards the open seas. Now let us move to our next chapter, chapter number 10, The Shell and the Grasses. Piggy sometimes found that he could see more clearly without his glasses and shifted the one lenses left to their other eye. Rolf advanced towards Piggy and sat down in the grass facing the chief's seat and the conch. Simon's death had shocked Piggy and Rolf very much. There were now only four left from the original group: Rolf, Piggy, Sam, and Eric. Others had joined the tribe of Jack. They had gone to live on the other side of the island called the Cashel Rock. They were also busy in hunting pigs and playing the game of pig hunting. They had grown violent, and Rolf was perturbed over this development. He was unable to decide upon the course of action he take. At last, Rolf asked Piggy advice. Piggy replied that he should call a meeting. He was still the chief. Rolf laughed at his idea of his. He then became to shiver. He said that Jack and his party had committed the murder of Simon. Piggy said that it was an accident, but Rolf replied that he had not seen it. The fact of the matter was that both of them was frightened out of their wits. They were only four and the whole grown up left. And the whole group left. Piggy said that four of them were not sufficient to keep the fire burning. Meanwhile, Sam and Eric came dragging a log out of the forest. They dumped it by the fire and turned to the pool. The twins were surprised to see Rolf, and they pretended as if they had not been to the forest. They said, "We left early." When Roger, who was wandering about the island, came to the neck of the land and joined the Castle Rock to the mainland and was challenged, the voice rang up sharply from the high, where the diminishing crags were balanced on one another. Robert, the guard, told Roger that the chief, Jack, had passed instructions that everyone was to be challenged. Robert said that Wilford had been tired for hours and he might get a beating. Roger then climbed down the back of the rocks towards the cave. He met Jack over there. Jack said that they would hunt the next day. He asked the guards on the gates to be extra alert, as the beast of any other stranger might seek in. Bill asked what they would use for lighting the fire, and Jack said that they would take fire from the others. Morris and Roger volunteered to accompany Jack on his raid. Meanwhile, Rolf and Piggy was busy keeping on fire alive. The fire was needed for smoke as well as warmth. As the smoke grew thinner, all of them went to collect more wood. Eric complained that he was tired. It was then decided that at night, when the smoke was not visible, there was no need to keep the fire burning. The fire should be kept burning only during the day. The twins lay together for night, and Rolf and Piggy slept at the inn. Rolf dreamed of a jet transporting them back home and the beautiful things, when all of a sudden he heard a dreamful moaning at the further end of the shelter. Sam and Eric locked in an embrace, fighting with each other. After some time, it was quiet all over again. Piggy asked Rolf to strain his ears and hear some sounds. Rolf got scared as he thought it was a beast. All of a sudden, there was a vicious snarling in the shelter and a plunge of thump of living things. A fight ensued and fist cuts exchanged. Piggy had a fit of his asthma and he crashed among the leaves. Jack and his hunters had struck upon them. Sam and Eric had also hit them back. They thought that the hunters had come for the conch. Piggy said that he knew that they come for something else. On the other side, towards the beach, Jack was moving with his hunters clandestinely. From his left hand dangled Piggy's broken glasses. Now let us move to our next chapter, chapter number 11. You were listening to the sound of Nishant Singh. Chapter number 11 is Cashel Rock. After the fight between Ralph Group and the Jack's gang, the four boys gathered around the Black Smooch where the fire had been, while Ralph knelt and blew. Ralph continued to blow till his ears were singing with the effort, but to no use. Divested of his glasses, Piggy also was a good as blind. He had great difficulty in locating things and seeing properly. All four of them were angry with Jack Meridew. Piggy asked Ralph to call an assembly. Ralph blew the conch, the forest re-echoed, and the birds lifted, crying out of the treetops as on that first morning ages ago. Some littlans came out of the shelters. Ralph pushed the conch into Piggy's hand. Piggy said that he could not see any more due to the loss of his glasses and awful things had been done on the island. He added that Ralph was only one who got something done, and then he handed over the conch to Ralph. Ralph blamed everything on Jack's gang of hunters. He said that they would have willingly given the fire to Jack's party. Piggy interrupted. This is just talk without deciding. I want my glasses. Ralph planned to go, but Piggy said that even if they took spears, it would be not good, as he would still have to be led like a dog. Piggy said that he would ask Jack to return his glasses. After having their food, they started off along the beach in a formation. Ralph led the way, followed by the twins, and Piggy walked between the trailing birds and the conch held carefully between his two hands. There was no shine left of the storm, and the beach was swept clean like a blade that has been scoured. They passed a place where the tribe has danced. Charred sticks lay on the rocks. They were sure that the tribe would be found at the Cashel Rock, and when they came in sight of it, they stopped with one accord. Piggy, unable to see much, kept asking, "Is it safe?" Ralph took the conch and went on blowing, ignoring Piggy's doubts. Savages appeared, panted out of recognition, carrying spears. Ralph said to them, "I am calling an assembly." He asked them about Jack's whereabouts. The boys told that he had gone off to hunt. A voice spoke from behind Ralph. It was Jack. Ralph asked him to return Piggy's spectacles back. He said that Jack has played a dirty trick on them and they would have given fire readily only if he had asked for it instead of stealing it. He called Jack a thief repeatedly in front of his tribe. Jack could not swallow this insult, and hand-to-hand fight ensued. Ralph addressed the hunters regarding the need of keeping the fire burning and Piggy glasses, but his request fell on the deaf ears. All of a sudden, Jack asked the boys to tie the twins, Sam and Eric. The painted group got hold of the twins. Jack then told Ralph that he was no more the chief, and now the group obeyed his command. Again, both of them started fighting. During this din, Piggy rose from the dust of the fight. He held the conch in his hands. He said that they were a bunch of kids and were not acting sensibly enough. Again, Ralph and Jack started yelling at each other, and the situation became tense. There was an intention of the charge amongst them. High overhead, Rogo was standing on the lever with a full wet acting on it. He let the rocks loose. Ralph immediately heard the rocks tumbling long before. He leaped to one side, but Piggy could not stay clear, and the rocks stuck Piggy a glancing blow from his chin to knee. The conch exploded into 1,000 white fragments and ceased to exist. Piggy fell 40 feet and landed on his back square, red rock in the sea. His head opened in his arms and legs twitched a bit like a pig's after it has been killed. A wave of water came and washed Piggy's body away. There was a complete silence. Then Jack shouted that if he did not behave, Ralph like his likes would get the same treatment. He then hit Ralph with a spear. The tribe rushed after Ralph. On seeing them charging, Ralph ran away, swirling over the open space and crashed into the bushes of the foliage. He was thus hidden. Jack led his tribe back to their location and prodded Sam and Eric to join up with his tribe. Now let us move to our next chapter, chapter number 12, Cry of the Hunters. Ralph lay in covert, wondering about his wounds. He was scratched and bruised all over. He strained hard to listen and he was not far from the Castle Rock. The afternoon died away, but no sound came from behind the rock. He parted the branches at the edge and looked through them. Robert was sitting on the guard at the top of the cliff. Someone appeared by Robert's side and gave him something, then turned and went back to the rock. Ralph assumed that the feast was beginning and the watchman was being given his share. Ralph felt hungry and, feeling safe for the time being, limped his way through the fruit trees. Ralph thought that the hunters might leave him alone, but he shuddered at the thought of Piggy's and Simon's death. He then ate the fruits greedily and went towards the beach. At length he came to a clearing where rocks prevented any vegetation from growing. He found a pig's skull on the top of a stick grinning at him. The skull regarded Ralph as the person who knows all answers and would not tell. A sick fear and rage swept him. Forcefully he hit out at the flithy thing in front of him and cracked into pieces. As the night fell, Ralph felt his isolation bitterly. Tired though he could not relax and fell into a well of sleep for fear of tribe. He could hear Kill the Beast, Cut His Throat, Spill His Blood, by now a familiar chanting. Ralph knew that the tribe was having a feast. Ralph was Sam and Eric doing the guard duty. He accepted this fact like a wound. He then edged forward until he found a ledge for a grasp. He called very gently their names, terrified that they would run and give an alarm. He hauled himself up and said, "It's only me, Ralph." Eric remained silent, but Sam tried to do his duty. He asked Ralph to go away. The twins told him the signals they would use and their strategy. Someone approached them for the tribe, and Samerick asked Ralph to go away. Sam gave him a chunk of meat, and Ralph told them that he would hide in the thicket near to him, then pulled himself between the ferns and huddled himself down in the blackness of the thicket, and very soon he was fast asleep. He was woken by the noise of drew nearer. It was an ululation achieved by beating upon open mouth, the signals of the tribesmen. Ralph wriggled deeper into the thicket and sat down, carefully waiting for the hunt to pass. Jack and Roger came to the thicket with one of the twins, but he felt assured as it would not be easy to get into the thicket, and anyone who wormed his way through though would be helpless. Ralph then heard a sound, heave, heave, heave. The hunters heaved a rock from the top of the cliff towards the thicket. The hunters managed to break the denseness of the thicket with the rock and then advanced towards it. Ralph thrust his own stick through a crack and stuck with all his might. The hunters then light a fire to drive Ralph out. Ralph wormed his way towards the dense forest, away from the thicket. A smallish savage was standing between him and the rest of the forest. He stabbed and stripped and painted boy with his spear and ran away. There was a shout from beyond the thicket and Ralph was running away. The hunters following him, Ralph tried hard to think of a way of escaping, but he could not. There was no piggy to talk sense. There was no Solomon assembly for debate or dignity of the coons. The fire was enveloping greater area and savages followed him. They were running bucksuck. All of them was crying out madly. Ralph was getting tired, but the desperate ululation was advancing upon him. He stumbled over the root and went on rolling over and over and in the warm sand. He staggered to his feet and looked upon a huge peak cap. A naval officer stood in the stand, looking down at the Ralph in very astonishment. The officer inquired of Ralph about happenings on the island. He asked whether there were any grown-ups or adults with them. The fire reached the coconut palms by the beach and swallowed them noisily. The officers grinned cheerfully at Ralph and said, "We saw your smoke. What have you been doing? Having a war or something?" Ralph simply nodded. Ralph then told him of his two dead friends. The officer then asked, "Who's boss here?" "I am," said Ralph loudly. Jack stated forward, then changed his mind and stood still. Ralph sobbed and wept for end of innocence. The darkness of man's hurt and the fall through the ear of the true wise friend called Piggy. The officer was moved by this. He then turned away to allow them some time to pull themselves together.